Hello, Lighthouse Church family. Pastor Joel here. Just wanted to say thank you for tuning into another of our sermon podcasts. Hope there's a word for you today. Now, let's jump into your weekly dose of godly teaching for you.
First and foremost, Merry Christmas, Lighthouse Church family. Tonight, as we gather in this space filled with song and with scripture, we also gather in a place that is filled with light. And I want to gently reopen a story that we have been walking through together. Even if you haven't been with us the past 3 weeks, we've been walking through the story that Scripture tells us Christmas is all about. A story that did not begin in a manger, but began long before it. It began with a promise. There was a man whose name was Abraham, and he's found standing beneath a night sky, scattered with stars, promised more than he could ever earn, imagine, or control. God spoke in history bent around that word. The promise passed from Abraham to King David through prophets and poets, whispered again and again that one day a king would come who would bless the nations and bring light to the darkness. And then came silence. 400 long years, no prophets, no visions, no fresh word from heaven, and yet we learned through this journey that silence was not about abandonment, that God was still moving. He was quietly preparing hearts, that he was aligning all of history, waiting for the fullness of time. And then came that glorious announcement, first to Zechariah and then to Mary, not to generals or kings, but to a faithful priest and a young girl in a forgotten town. Heaven broke its silence with mercy, and the promise was no longer distant. We learned on Sunday this promise is drawing near. And tonight we arrive at the moment. The whole story has been leading toward the waiting ends, the promise takes on flesh, the silence gives way to song, and the announcement is, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." We've heard the story read this evening. We have sung of its wonder. And now, just for a few moments, I want us to step into that night. To stand where shepherds stood, to place ourselves in their sandals, to stand in the fields keeping watch over the sheep by night and suddenly witness the opening of heaven and ask ourselves the same question that we too are confronted with tonight. What do we do with the light once we've seen it? Because Christmas is not just a story to admire. It's a revelation that requires a response. And that response will shape how we leave this place tonight. To imagine this scene as it truly was, not the polished image of fireplaces and snowy chalets that we sometimes see on Christmas cards, but the quiet, fragile reality of it. A young mother, exhausted from labor, holding her newborn son for the very first time. A father standing close by, protective, uncertain, and humbled by the weight of responsibility that is now resting in his arms. Straw beneath them, animals nearby, the night still and cold. It is a tender moment. It's an intimate moment, the kind of moment that happens in countless places at countless times every single day. And yet this moment is unlike any other in human history. While kings sit on thrones and emperors issue edicts and decrees that move nations, the most momentous arrival the world has ever known takes place here. Not in a palace, but in a stable. Not announced to royalty, but entrusted to a young couple whose obedience brought them to this place. The one foretold by prophets. The fulfillment of promises spoken centuries before. The word made flesh now sleeps in his mother's arms. And you can't help but wonder, as the song we heard tonight, Mary, did you know? Did you know that the child you are holding is the offspring promised to Abraham, the king promised to David? Did you know that this tiny chest rising and falling before you is the breath that once spoke the universe into being? Did you know that those tiny little hands grasping your finger tonight will one day heal the sick, calm the storm, and bear the weight of the cross? There is no crown. There is no ceremony, no earthly honor, and yet heaven is fully aware of what has happened. The light of the world has entered into darkness, not with force, but with humility, not demanding attention, but inviting hearts. And once again, God chooses his audience carefully. If no king is summoned to the manger, if no ruler is called to witness the birth, who then will be invited to see the king? Because God does not leave this moment without testimony. He sends messengers. He fills the sky with glory, and he calls not to the powerful, but to the humble. Not to the celebrated, but to the overlooked. He calls shepherds. And in doing so, he invites us to step into those same sandals, to see what they saw, to hear what they heard, and to decide how will we respond to the light that has come. We see these shepherds are sitting beneath the open sky, doing what they had done 1,000 nights before, watching, waiting, guarding sheep in the darkness. They were not scholars of prophecy. They were not leaders of influence. They were ordinary men far from the centers of power, unnoticed by the world around them. And it is into their night that heaven breaks in. The sky fills with light and angels appear and fear grips their heart. And then comes the glorious announcement, the greatest news ever spoken in human history. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. They are given a sign. They're not given a crown nor a palace, but they are told to go and seek a baby wrapped in cloth lying in a manger. And Luke tells us something important about what happens next. They don't debate. They don't delay. They say to one another, let us go now and see this thing that has come to pass. And they go and they see, and everything changes. They leave the hillside and they make their way into the town, hearts still racing from what they have heard and seen. And when they finally arrive, there is a glow of that single star in the sky, but there is no longer an angelic choir there. No thunder or fireworks to announce the arrival of the Messiah, just a small, dimly lit space and an ordinary Jewish family. They see a young mother, tired but radiant, holding her newborn child. They see a father standing nearby who welcomes them in to see his pride and joy. They see straw on the ground and animals close enough to hear them lowing as they push them aside to see the baby lying where animals once fed. Nothing about the scene announces royalty, and yet everything does. The child is small and fragile. His breaths are shallow and new, the kind that come from lungs still learning how to breathe air for the first time. His hands and his feet curl instinctively when touched. His cry is soft and human. His hair is slicked, parted by his mother's fingertips, not a brush. This is what they see. No crown, no army, no sign of power as the world defines it, and yet they still know. Because the angels did not lie, the promise had led them there, and because there is something in their spirit that they recognize what their eyes alone cannot yet fully comprehend, this is him. This is the Savior of the world, who does not stand before them in glory and power. He rests gently in a manger. The king foretold by prophets sleeps before them as a newborn child, and the light of the world has arrived, not blinding, not overwhelming, but near enough to touch. And in that quiet space, the shepherds understand something that will echo through all of history. God has kept his promise. The miracle that we should remember is not that heaven opened and that angelic choirs sang powerfully and beautifully. The miracle is that God has come this close, that he's near enough to touch, the God of all creation, near enough that they could hold him. But they don't. They don't linger and ask his mother if they may hold him. They don't ask, may I approach him? Instead, Luke says that when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They don't keep the moment to themselves. They don't hold the wonder quietly in their hearts. They tell the story. They speak his name. They share the joy. And the response is just as striking. All who heard it marveled. The shepherds become the first witnesses. These are the first evangelists, the first messengers, the first to carry the light beyond the manger. And then Luke tells us that they return, not to new positions, not to places of grandeur, not to status, but to their fields. The same place that they had been glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, they go back to ordinary life, but they are no longer ordinary men. And that is where this story gently turns toward us tonight. Because tonight we are standing in their place. We have heard the announcement. We have seen the story unfold. We have watched the promise now fulfilled. And the same question rests before us. Will we simply stand and marvel at the child in the manger? Or will we go and make known what has been told to us concerning him? That choice to remain or go is the heartbeat of Christmas, church. As the shepherds stand there in that quiet space, they are faced with a choice. They could stay. They could remain in the warmth of that moment, memorizing the scene, holding the wonder close. No one would blame them. After all, how often does the world pause long enough to let you stand face to face with the fulfillment of centuries of hope? They could remain and marvel. But Luke tells us they do something else. The shepherds understand something simple and profound. This joy was never meant to stop with them. The good news of great joy demanded movement. What they had seen was too important to keep to themselves, and the same question now gently rests before us tonight. Will we remain and marvel at the child in the manger, keeping the beauty of this moment safely within these walls? Or will we, like the shepherds, go, carrying the light with us into all the world that is still longing for hope? Because the truth is, Christmas is not only something to behold, it is also something to bear. It is not just a story we treasure, it is a light that we carry with us wherever we may go. In just a moment, we will begin to pass the light from candle to candle, and as we do, let it remind us that the light of the world has come near enough to be held, and that that light still remains within us. We are the shepherds of our day, church. Mechanics and electricians, nurses and grocery store clerks, waitresses and teachers, the light still lives on in God's ordinary evangelists. Remember that God did not reveal his light to kings or rulers or generals or men of rapport and status, but to ordinary men of extraordinary faith. And while the baby was still weak and lying gently in the manger, God still lit a light in their hearts strong enough to be shared. And as we lift our voices together, may we make the same choice the shepherds made long ago. I'm going to call on Justin and Tyler at this time. And as we close tonight, we're going to do something very simple. Maybe something you've done before at a church Christmas Eve service. But it's deeply meaningful. In just a moment, the light will begin to spread through this room from candle to battery-powered candle. And as it does, I want you to remember the shepherds. They did not keep the good news to themselves. What they had seen changed where they went and how they lived. So just as the light is passed to you, don't let it rest in your hands. Don't let it settle in your heart. Let it remind you that the same light that broke into the darkness, into that night, has broken into your life as well. And as we sing together, Go tell it on the mountain. Let it be more than a song. Let it be a prayer, a commitment that we would not only share the light in this sanctuary, but we would carry it with us when we leave this place. That we would carry it into our homes and into our workplaces and into our neighborhoods and into a world that is longing for hope this Christmas. Tonight we celebrate that Jesus is born. And tomorrow, like the shepherds before us, may we go and tell it on the mountain, over the plains and everywhere, that Jesus Christ is born. There are ushers who are going to pass out candles to you in this room, and the way you turn it on is very simple. You simply twist the bottom to the right until it turns on, but I don't want you to turn that light on until somebody has shared the light with you. And as we do, the light in this room will grow, and it will light up the darkness of this place. And in the same way that we do that here tonight, I want you to go tomorrow and the next day and the next year and spread the light that Christ has lit in your heart. Because light is not meant to be held in here, it's meant to be put onto a stand that it may be seen wherever you may go, that we as a church would be as a city on a hill with light that shines out into darkness and wherever we may go. And so we're going to sing and we are going to spread the light of Christmas here tonight and tomorrow and wherever we may go. Amen.
Pastor Joel here. Thanks again for tuning into this sermon podcast. Just a reminder to come join us 10 a.m. Sundays, either in person or live streamed at lighthouseniagara.com. God bless and have a great day.